Henry Lewis Horsfield, Reel 5. Did you ever make any Indian friends whilst you were there, apart from the servants and the you came into contact with shopkeepers and Indian army men, but did you ever make any Indian friends there whose houses you went to or anything like that?
No. First of all, apart from the Indians, the officers, the subadar, the havildar, the drivers, all right, the only time you saw them was when you were on parade. You see, you never saw them otherwise. They didn't live in bungalows adjacent to you, anything like that. They were entirely separate. The other employees, of course, you had nothing to do with them except on parade, as you might say, when they were looking after you. You never got close friendship with them. Putting it bluntly, you weren't supposed to do anyhow. They were natives, and you were the Rajals, the Sabs, you see. And then there was a couple of other employees, like the accountant. All right. As regards the outside natives, the Parsis, the well-to-do people, shopkeepers, I mean shopkeepers, not like those in the bazaar, in Pune, places like that, you never got to know them, not to be friendly with them. Places like Secunderabad and outside Jhansi, there was no place outside Jhansi. What the places were, they were out of bounds. You were practically confined to barracks. Almost confined to barracks. You never got to mix with the civilian population. Just within yourselves, I thought.
Did you take any interest in Indian arts or things like their buildings like Taj Mahal and Red Fort and temples and sculpture and handicrafts and all this type of thing?
No, you didn't get the opportunity anyhow. You used to be interested in places like the Taj Mahal, and you see photos of them and all that. And the occasion, the odd body who saved up his money and went to Calcutta for a couple of weeks, have a look round there, or to go through Agra and see the Taj Mahal, they're the only ones who ever saw them. But you never got the opportunity of going anywhere to study it, art or any other thing.
What about Indian politics? Did you or any of these soldiers you were with take any interest in all that?
No.
About Gandhi and Nehru and Jinnah?
We were soldiers. We were soldiers, and that's all there was to it. Well, no interest in things like that.
Did you think it was natural for the British Army to be in India? Did you think it was a natural thing? Or did you think it was a bit odd?
Don't suppose it entered our minds, really. All we knew was we were the Indian Army, or the English Army, in India, and we were there to protect the people as far as that goes. But in case of any uprising, although, all right, we were there on the spot, weren't we? That's all there was to it. You were there as a soldier, and that's just what you did.
Did you see any disturbances whilst you were there?
No. No, things were pretty quiet. The people who used to get those any disturbances, not similar things, were up in the northwest frontier, Quetta, and those places.
Did you think that British rule was a good thing for India?
Yes, I think so. For one thing, the British way of life, especially soldiering, of course, but there were other things. Things we didn't see of, all these plantation overseers and businessmen, which we didn't didn't see anything of, or never mixed with them. They showed the Indians the English way of life, showed them how much better off they could be. But of course, the biggest problem in India, I don't think you'll ever overcome it, was two things. First of all, so many different religions. I can't vouch for this, I might be at fault in my memory, but all I was told was must be about 200 different religions in India. First of all, the main ones, the Hindus and Mohammedans and that. Altogether, I think there's about 200 different religions. And there's such a vast population of ignorant natives, which go on and on. So you've got one devil of a problem out there.
So you didn't think that Britain was responsible for all the poverty and so on there?
No. The people that was responsible for the poverty out there was the Rajas. They were all multimillionaires living in palaces and splendour. All their subjects was living, like I've told you, in mud huts, breeding like rabbits. That suited the Rajas.
Did you ever feel that the army was there to protect the Rajas?
To a certain extent, yes. That's the opinion I've got, looking back. But I know things have deteriorated a bit from the Rajas' point of view since we left there. So that was the opportunity, I should imagine, for all these different people who were getting a bit better educated to start the uprisings and deprive the Rajas a bit of their authority and way of living. Because they know that about it. The Rajas and all their friends, they're really two extremes. One living in absolute luxury and splendour, more than what they wanted. I mean, all the subjects were living like rats. Take, for instance, the Aga Khan, the late Aga Khan, the big fat one, which I know of.
Did you see him? Did you see him?
No, I didn't actually see him. But, I mean, everybody knows in the world that there's all these millions of followers who look upon him as God and give their money to keep him in the way he was kept, racehorses and all the rest of it. I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it, when they've got the extremes like that?
Did you prefer... Which Indians did you prefer? Which Indians did you like the best?
Well, obviously, you like the Parsis, because they were the higher educated people. The Parsis, they were the wealthy people. But not in the same way as the Rajas we've been talking about. But they were the better class people, the Parsis, and the Pakistanis are not too bad.
You mean the Mohammedans?
Yeah, well, they're a different type, if you understand what I mean. What I remember of the Mohammedans mostly were the damn good soldiers. Say the type who wear the beards, you know. And the, what's his name on top of the head? Which has been controversy about.
You mean the turbans?
The turbans, that's right.
You mean the Sikhs? Yeah. You're talking about the Sikhs?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Why did you prefer the Parsis if the Rajas were also the higher caste of people, weren't they, as well? So what was so special about the Parsis that you preferred them?
Because they were a superior type in education and conduct, the way they're living. Because they were more or less So I imitate the English. You see, and lots of them were English educated. But the majority of Indians, whatever the religion is, and whether they're Sikhs or Mohammedans or Hindus, they're placid, peace-loving, nice type of people, but conditions, circumstances, whatnot. All this poverty, etc., causes any trouble, which they get into, because they're not a warlike people. Not what I've seen of them. They're quite happy as long as they got a fair living, the good workers.
So, did you find that the British soldiers liked the Indians, generally speaking?
Well, I wouldn't like to give other people's opinions. All I can look at, the only opinions I can voice is from my experience as a soldier 50 years ago. And the average soldier was out there to soldier for 6 years. And lots of them, against their will, not all volunteers like me, and not all after getting on in the army like some of the few of us did, they stopped out in India and got commissioned in the SMT, that's the Indian Supply and Transport, you see. So, what shall we say, a good percentage used to look down on the Indian. Kick their ass sort of business and all that. But then, quite a few of us appreciated the good qualities of lots of them, especially the Sikhs and them, who, as I say, keep repeating, the jolly good soldiers.
So, did you enjoy your time in India then?
Yes. Revert back to the payment leave. After 4 years, if you were lucky, I was unlucky 2 years running. If you were lucky, you could get a payment leave, 6 months. But you had to go back for another 6 years. All right, I was quite prepared to do that. But 2 years running, I was deprived of the payment leave, and I've told you about the miserable life this colonel was giving us. So I decided to come home for good because I was entitled to do so after 6 years, you see. But if I had to done, I'd have gone back another 6 years. And anybody who liked it, of course, could have done the same. But unfortunately, the British Army couldn't do without me out there.
What do you mean?
It had fallen to pieces without me. Yeah, but you see, these type of officers, they defeat their own object. This Major A.B. Van Sorfenzi, he was a good battery commander. But he wanted too much out of me. And he wouldn't give me a little bit. I mean, I'd already forwarded the payment leave once, promised it for this year, and he wanted me to forego it. They were all right, they had the leave now and again, you see. And because the officer's life was entirely different to ours, they had the officer's mess run on the old Rajah's lines. Mess and dress every night, all dressed up. They have the sociability, they have the officers' wives, and I should imagine civilian friends used to come to the mess. Now, like, we had nothing like that. So I think at the end of 4 years, I was entitled to a leave. But to emphasize, I was quite willing to go back for another 6 years.